You know, when the Lord has us all over the place, it's because he wants to use all kinds of people in all kinds of places. Your work that you do around the city, around the tri-state, wherever you are, that is a stewardship from God. It is sacred to God. I was saying in the first service, my daughter loves the hymn, Be Thou My Vision. It's always been her favorite hymn. And when she was in New York a few years ago, she was a banker in New York, one of the Wall Street crowd. And then she was a business manager and helped to establish a charter school in Inwood, where she taught and was the business manager. Wonderful ministry, the charter school there as well. And now she married a Canadian, and now she's a homemaker, full-time homemaker and mom. And in each case, banker, business manager, homemaker, mom, she's called to be a what? An ambassador of Christ. When he's our vision, our own dreams and visions become his dreams and visions. Amen? And we can honor him in that way. It doesn't matter whether you're a banker or a homemaker or a student, whether you're in the arts or you're in science or medicine or you're in business or finance, it's all sacred to God. It's all sacred. We've been in a church, not this church, but in an environment evangelically over many, many years where the idea was that people who get paid to be good, the professional holy men, are the ones who serve God full time. Nothing could be further from the truth. Making your living doing the gospel doesn't make you full time for God. There are lots of people doing so-called spiritual work with very secular hearts. Look at all the scandals we have. There's many so-called lay people or doing secular work with very spiritual hearts. It's always about how much work and much living we do for God. So he wants us everywhere, amen? Thank God for that. He wants us to be ambassadors everywhere that he places us. You're full time for God. Glory to God. Reconciliation is an urgent message. I was struck by something Denzel Washington said recently. Always loved Denzel Washington, one of my favorites of all time. Amazing actor. You know, he grew up the son of a preacher, an evangelical preacher. And so he has heard the word and the gospel, and a lot of times when you see him say things, you say, oh yeah, he's into that stuff, right? Anyway, recently he was speaking to a group of acting students, and he was giving them advice about how to be successful in their budding careers. He said, here's what you need to do. I pray that you all put your shoes way under the bed at night so that you got to get on your knees in the morning to find them. And while you're down there, thank God for grace and mercy and understanding. While you're down there, thank God for grace and for mercy. Amen. That is the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel, God's grace and mercy. It is an urgent message. An urgent message. Reconciliation is an urgent need. Personally and globally, an urgent need, and this message has been entrusted to us, ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, all of this, that is, people becoming new people in Jesus Christ, all of this is from God. He's the one who makes all things new. Who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. This is the wonderful, urgent message. God was in Christ reconciling us to himself. And now he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and he has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Wow. Powerful stuff, amen? The message of reconciliation. And God has his people everywhere representing him and the message and the love, everywhere. One of my favorite people in ministry ever in my life is a man that some of you know well. His name is Dr. Celestin Musakura. He is from Rwanda originally. He saw 8 members of his family butchered, murdered in the genocide in Rwanda in the early 90s. 8 members of his family. And out of that carnage and bereavement and heartache and unspeakable evil, God raised this young man up to be a messenger of Christ, to be an agent of reconciliation in Rwanda and Uganda and other places that are racked by violence and bereavement and evil. Got his PhD at Dallas Seminary. For many years, he's been the director of Alarm Ministries, African Leadership and Reconciliation Ministries. And his book, Forgiving as We've Been Forgiven, is an amazing book. If you've never read it, you need to get it. You can get it online anywhere. Forgiving as We've Been Forgiven, Celestin Musakura. Now, here's what he says about the fact that God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. He's entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Let's hear from him about what this means, because he's been living it. Amen? 1 year after the killing of my family and friends, I was back in Kampala training Hutu and Tutsi pastors from Rwanda, Congo, and Burundi when I discovered in the groups 3 relatives of those who led the killings in my home village. As anger and resentment started to cloud my view of God's forgiveness and faithfulness in my personal life, I heard the quiet but clear voice of God's Spirit challenging me to remember that I had forgiven those who murdered my family. The Lord told me that I had to repent and ask these 3 men for forgiveness. They were my brothers in Christ, not the murderers of my family. They were related to and fellow tribesmen of those who murdered my family by blood of tribe, but they were more closely related to me by the blood of Jesus. They were the redeemed of Christ, members of my family through our common adoption in the family of God. Therefore, I needed to repent and ask them to forgive me for hating them and being angry against them for the sins of their blood fathers and brothers. I had allowed my pain, grief, anger, and bitterness to eclipse my spiritual eyes. But the Lord showed me the reality of my shared identity with these brothers in Christ. We all belong to the family of Christ. Our shared identity in Christ was superior to any other identity that culture, tradition, and history had assigned to us. After wrestling with the Lord, I gathered the courage to ask forgiveness from these men. In the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he emphasized the daily practice of forgiveness as a way of maintaining and sustaining relationships. If forgiveness is the heart of the gospel, it is the center of the church's mission as well. Since 1994, the Lord has continued to impress on my heart the need to equip and train church leaders, pastors, and lay leaders in East and Central Africa who have no theological and leadership training opportunities. The HIV and AIDS pandemic has also caused a great need for pastoral care and counseling to the dying and to the bereaved families. In addition, Alarm has been dealing with issues of biblical repentance, forgiveness, conflict resolution, and tribal reconciliation. Our ultimate goal is to empower the African church to be an agent of forgiveness and reconciliation in the African communities. After God reconciled us to himself through Christ, he committed to us the ministry and message of reconciliation in a world of brokenness. Do you see that? He comments on 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. After God reconciled us to himself through Christ, he committed to us the ministry of reconciliation in a world of brokenness. It has not been easy to continue to witness the killing, torture, imprisonment, intimidation, and persecution of those who are preaching the message of biblical repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation. But that's not all we see. We are also witnessing a new hope and a new role for the African church in bringing healing to hurting communities and families. Without strong pastoral leadership, the African church will not make a significant impact on the continent, which is ripe for harvest. We envision a biblical Christianity replacing a tribal Christianity that has failed in the face of genocide, corruption, poverty, and HIV/AIDS. The crisis of Africa is a leadership crisis. God has blessed Africa with human and natural resources. Our tribal and ethnic differences should make us strong, just as our natural minerals and oil make us strong. Church leaders must be custodians and stewards of these resources and must model redemptive and reconciling leadership in the community. Wow. Doesn't it thrill you that we are part of this body of Christ? We're part of this man and his family and the church and the community there. Some of our leaders have traveled there. Tom Basil, one of our elders, and Jim Canary, one of our elders, and his wife have traveled there. Others as well. I'm sure I haven't thought of all of them. But we've had a number of leaders that have traveled there as well. Amen. We've had our own people go out all kinds of places all over the world to be a part of making a difference in Africa and every other continent, amen? Aren't you thrilled to be a part of that? We're ambassadors. The message is urgent. It needs to be given with a sense of urgency. The moment is urgent. It's today. It's today. There's a sense of urgency. Look at verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. What is the therefore, right? Therefore means because we've been reconciled. We've been forgiven. We've been loved. We've been commissioned with the message of reconciliation and committed to us the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, right? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Somebody says, how do you define an ambassador? Well, go right here. An ambassador is a man or woman who's been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. A man or woman who God has given the ministry of reconciliation as a co-laborer with Christ. And a man or woman who has been entrusted the ministry of reconciliation. That's God's definition. Amen? That's us. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. In this ministry, he appeals through us. God displays urgency through us. We implore you for Christ's sake, be reconciled to God. That's an urgent message, delivered with passion and a sense of urgency and love. Amen. As if God was appealing through us, and he is. For Christ's sake, be reconciled to God. Receive forgiveness. Receive new life. Amen? It's a gift. That's the message. A sense of urgency in this message. How many of you remember a few weeks or a few months ago when an individual jumped over the fence, the barrier at the White House? It was crazy. Went right over the fence, got in the house. Now, the Secret Service admits they messed it up. They usually do pretty good, but they messed that one up. But you know, at the beginning, when they retold the story, they didn't tell the truth. They didn't tell what really happened. You know what really happened? The guy got over the fence. People weren't paying that much attention. One agent confronted the guy in the yard and was quickly overpowered by the guy. Boom. Nobody else was anywhere near. The guy goes through the door of the White House. The door's unlocked. He's in the main area of the White House. He went straight in, thank God. If he turned left, which was like 5 feet away, he'd have gone right up the stairs. He'd have been in the first family's living quarters and bedrooms. He goes straight ahead, thank God. Nobody confronts him. Nobody. He wanders around, and finally, an agent who's off duty, ready to go home, tackles him. That's what really happened. You know what's more bizarre than what really happened? Is what Julia Pearson, who was then the director of the Secret Service, said to Congress. Do you remember? By the way, she ended up losing her job. And she needed to lose her job. If she hadn't lost it for what happened, she'd have lost it from what she said. You know what she said? She said to Congress, I praised the tremendous restraint of my agents during the incident. What are we living on, Mars? I praised the tremendous restraint of my agents during the incident. We're all going crazy. This prompted an appropriate response by one of the congressmen, Chafee, I think it was. He said, tremendous restraint is not the goal and objective. Hello? It sends a very mixed message. The message should be overwhelming force. Amen? Somebody show a sense of urgency. Somebody do their job. Somebody protect the president and his family. Wow. We need a sense of urgency when we represent Jesus Christ. Lives are at stake. Amen. People's soul and spirit is at stake. We need urgency. God says lovingly, somebody do their job. Somebody get passionate about the message, about the freedom, about the power, about the love, amen, and begin to share it lovingly with others. Speak the truth in love. Now, this is a profound message, this urgent message. It's the profound message of substitution. God's love for us, which resulted in a substitution. And I'm not talking about football. I'm talking about the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his own son to go to the cross and to die in our place for our sins. That's the message. As ambassadors, one of the aspects of our calling is to appreciate and be able to articulate national policy. That's what ambassadors do. And the national policy of the King of Kings is reconciliation through the gospel. And therefore, part and parcel of this gospel of reconciliation is the doctrine, the truth of substitution. Jesus took our place. He died for our sins. So that by faith, then we can receive his righteousness, which is imputation, another fancy word to mean we get the good stuff and he gets the bad stuff. He takes the sin and we get the righteousness. Amen? That's what it says, you see, this substitution. Verse 21, for our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be what? Sin who knew no sin. He became our substitute. When it says God made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, he doesn't mean that Jesus became a sinner. He didn't. It didn't mean that he sinned on the cross, or it doesn't mean that he became a sinner on the cross. No, it means that he became our sin bearer. The only way you can be the sin bearer is to be perfect. So he never sinned. He was never tainted by our sin. But he carried our sin. Amen? Now that is an amazing message. You won't find that love anywhere in New York, I can assure you, except in Jesus Christ. Anywhere in the world except in Jesus Christ. That's a passionate truth, right? An amazing truth. Urgent. This issue of substitution. That means that Jesus, the sinless one, took my sin upon himself and yours. He died for me and for you in our place as an act of infinite love. Personally took our place and paid the price. Satisfied the justice of God for us. You can stay at 2 Corinthians 5, but I just want to read to you a verse from Isaiah 53, the great suffering servant chapter. This is the profound essence of substitution. The prophet says, surely he, the Messiah Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He became our substitute, carried our griefs and sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. In one sense, he was, because he took our judgment and satisfied the righteousness and the justice of God. That's right. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was our substitute. He was crushed for our iniquities, our substitute. Upon him was the chastisement for our peace, our substitute. And by his wounds, we have our healing. That's substitution in all its glory. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, the Messiah, the iniquity of all of us. Substitution. We need to share that. We need to understand that as ambassadors. Amen? Rejoice in it. Talk about it to people. He took your place. He died for you in your place, for your sins, my sins. That allows for imputation. That's a fancy word, simply meaning that our sins are imputed to him on the cross and his righteousness is imputed to us by faith. In a way, God transfers our sin to him, and then by faith he transfers his righteousness to us. So that's imputation. It's a fancy word for saying we get credited with a righteousness which is not our own. Actually, another way to say it is, it's pretty good. It's a really good deal. Yeah. He dies and we live. Amen? That's the genius, the beauty of the gospel. We want to share that. You see the end of verse 21? So that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? We don't have righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is imperfect. It's like filthy rags. It's never going to save us. We need his righteousness. And by faith, we receive his righteousness. It's a gift. Faith doesn't earn it. Faith just receives it. Right? Faith doesn't work for it. Faith just says, thank you, God. I receive you. I trust you. It's all grace through faith. It's a gift. It's a gift. You know, in Paris, as they are healing from this horrific carnage inflicted by radical Islam on the cartoonists and the journalists at Charlie Hebdo, and also on the Jewish deli where four Jews were killed also, God is raising up his ambassadors. He's got them all over the place, in journalism, in the arts, in everywhere, business. One of the great fears that was struck through this terror attack was among the Jewish community that realized that anti-Semitism in France and in Europe is increasing exponentially, and it is. We're hearkening back to the Nazis, basically. This is a threat like the Nazi threat. Not just to the Jews, but to the world. The West needs to wake up, including the U.S. We need to really understand and appreciate, in the best sense of the word, that is, understand realistically what we're dealing with here. Amen? But a lot of the Jews in Paris suddenly are saying, maybe we better go to Israel. It's amazing how God gets people back to Israel in fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament, huh? Actually, we're doing a conference in a couple of weeks here in New York, and we'll publish on this conference as well, myself and a number of guys around the country, on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Borough Park Symposium, it's called, the Borough Park Symposium, if you have any interest in that, February 16, 17, and 18. But we're talking about this stuff, about what's happening in the world and how the gospel needs to impact it. Amen? And so the ambassadors and their witnesses being raised up in Paris. If you've not read World Magazine, it's a Christian evangelical understanding of the news in light of Scripture. It's really powerful stuff. World Magazine. They have an article on the terrorism in France, and they said this: it's too early to predict whether the attacks will cause some French citizens, particularly the Jewish ones, to leave the country of France. Excuse me, but the rampage has already left a deep wound in a spiritually needy nation. Operation World estimates evangelicals comprise about 1% of the population in this heavily secular country of France. And I read that and thought, 1%? I mean, I think their point of view was, it's not much. I'm thinking 1%. I'm shocked that there's 1% evangelical in France. That's good. I'm encouraged. You know, 1 out of 100 people have an evangelical witness, I hope. That'd be fantastic. That's nigh unto critical mass. You get about 3%, you can really shake it up, right? Well, 12 of them shook it up pretty good about 2,000 years ago, right? In a Jewish neighborhood near the grocery store assault, where they killed the four individuals, the Paris branch of the organization Jews for Jesus put a sign in the window quoting Jesus' words. Here's some of his ambassadors, Jewish Christians. Here's what they did in the window in Paris. "Peace I leave with you," they quoted Jesus. "My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." What a witness. Carl D'Souza, a staff member at the Paris Jews for Jesus branch, wrote about his prayers with his family at home after the attacks. Scary time. Like 9/11 when we went through that. "We prayed for the family members who died in the attack. We prayed for this country in mourning, we prayed for justice. We also prayed that those who planned and orchestrated this massacre would stop what they're doing, turn to Messiah Jesus for a true change in their hearts, and do what is right. It will never be a religion or ideology that changes the world, but through the one who came to set things right. And that change begins in us, his image bearers." Wow. What a witness. That witness begins in us, his image bearers. Amen. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. Glory to God. It's an urgent message. It needs to be given lovingly, but with a passion, with an urgency, with a love. Amen. And it needs to be done now, because the time is now. The message is urgent. The appeal needs to be urgent. The time is urgent. The time is now. See, chapter 6, working together with him. That is, we as ambassadors are working together with God. This is a divine-human collaboration. Only he can give life and raise the dead, but we plant and water, do we not? With our witness, our life, our prayers, our caring, our friendships, our work, everything. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now's the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The time is urgent. The first urgent thing about the time is, he says, the time is now. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Isn't that what he says? What does he mean? He means, don't walk away from grace. Don't turn your back on mercy and forgiveness. Don't take the greatest gift ever given to the human race, as Pastor G prayed so wonderfully a minute ago, which is Jesus Christ himself, and throw him away. Amen? Don't despise grace. That's what it means. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Boy, there have been some wonderful films out recently. I can't remember a time when there were so many that were just amazing. We've seen a few now. Selma. Saw The Theory of Everything last night. I love science. I've read Hawking's stuff, and I've read his autobiography. I've read all that stuff. Fascinating movie. This brilliant atheist scientist married to a woman of faith. It's very cool. Very cool. And then Unbroken. How many saw Unbroken? Anybody? A few. Amazing, as we talk about, don't turn your back on grace. Amen? It's a true story. It's a powerful film. Directed by Angelina Jolie, actually. And I give her credit for a lot of things. I don't agree all the time with everything she does. But I tell you, I like her heart about helping those who are hurting. She puts herself at risk in Africa. She does some amazing stuff. And she directed this movie. It's an amazing movie. It's about a man named Louis Zamborini. I think I got that right, but Mark will tell me later if I got that right. He was a U.S. serviceman that was shot down over the Pacific during World War II. He survived for weeks with a couple of his friends adrift at sea in the Pacific, in the middle of nowhere. Survived sharks, dehydration, all of it. And then later he survived torture in at least two prisoner of war camps. Brutal torture. And particularly tormented by a prison warden nicknamed the Bird. During his ordeal, Louis promised God that if he ever survived at all, he would serve God for the rest of his life. Well, he survived. Came home and after the war, through the ministry of Billy Graham, he gave his life to Christ. And eventually, as a Christian, as an ambassador of Christ, he returned to Japan. And he invited his previous tormentors and enemies to come together with him. Many of them did. And he offered them forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Shared Christ with them. Ambassador of Christ. The only one who refused to meet with him, the only one who did not want his forgiveness, was the Bird. the bird received the grace of God in vain. He despised grace, walked away from grace. But Louis was free. God showed Louis that freedom is achieved not by vengeance, but by grace and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. It's an urgent message. Don't walk away from grace. Amen. You're here tonight, still without Christ, here this morning, I should say. Don't walk away from grace. Trust Him now. Ask God to forgive you now, for Jesus to make you new now. Don't wait. Amen. Don't wait. And let's begin to close now with the second aspect of this urgent time. That is, receive the grace now. Receive it now. In a favorable time, I listened to you. In a day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now's the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to receive Christ, to have new life and forgiveness from Jesus Christ. Now is also the time, as those who've received His grace and have been changed by Him, to say, Lord, use me as an ambassador. I repent of my shortcomings and my failures, my fear, my lack of discipline, my lack of urgency to my family, my friends, my neighbors. Forgive me, Lord. Amen. Now is the day to know Him and to make Him known. As the scripture says, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let me close today with a letter we just got from a dear sister in Brazil, another ambassador for Christ that God has placed there to be a witness for Him. We thank God for our wonderful Brazil ministry, as well as other ministries that go out from here. But we receive this letter, and here's what she says as we close for today and take communion. Today I listened to your message, Urgency of the Hour, and was amazed. I felt like listening to the Lord Himself talking to me in His Word, and of course, it is the Lord's Word, right? He is talking to us. When you shared how you met the Lord and surrendered yourself to His Lordship, I was personally touched. It reminded me of when I was younger and been prepared by my father to be an ambassador for Brazil. He made me study languages and go to the best universities in Latin America to study law so I would be an ambassador. But when I was in college, I decided to be a judge. It made my father disappointed, but he still considered it a nice position for me. But when I was in college, I was not a Christian, and yet while preparing myself to become a judge, I was led by the Spirit to read the Bible. Instead of studying law one morning, I opened up a New Testament that I had. That's about all that I had at that time. And I started reading the book of Revelation. And I understood that Jesus was the Lord of Lords, and He was the winner, and I wanted to be with Him. The Lord sent a missionary to my home to preach the gospel to me, and I accepted Jesus. I called my mom and I told her I was ready to die because I had peace with God. The reconciliation occurred. By the way, I was only 25 years old at that time. I was already married when that happened. My husband is a military man, and we had to move from São Paulo, where I used to live my whole life. And we began to move a lot because of his job. We moved to a very poor state in Brazil where I met American missionaries and pastors and started translating for them. After being with them for a year and a half, I learned to love the Bible, to read it, and I understood that I was called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I understood that I was ready to die to myself and my plans and to live for Him. Yes, no greater authority could have called me to serve His kingdom. Today, I am not an ambassador for Brazil, and neither am I a judge. But I rejoice in the condition of being an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And as we move all around our country because of my husband's work, I have the chance to share the doctrine of our King, taking the message of reconciliation wherever we go. Your sermon brought me to tears. It reminded me that there is no greater thing than serving the Lord and making Him known to the people and offering them peace with God. May the Lord Jesus always fill you with His power to announce His word to the world. In Christ Jesus, Lucy. And she ends with this verse, and we end the series on reconciliation and ambassadors of Christ with this verse. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter 3:15, or as Lucy says, 1 Pedro 3:15. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's ambassadors for Christ said, amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time. These couple of months of really focusing on ambassadors and reconciliation. What a privilege to be reconciled ourselves and to share reconciliation with others. Thank you for these myriad of witnesses that you've placed all over the world, in Brazil and Africa and the Middle East and America and Italy in Louis' testimony and all the rest of it. What a cool thing that is. Now may we just rejoice in being a part of such a great kingdom of God, a wonderful church here and universally. A message of hope, love, and peace. Thank you for this privilege. Find us faithful. Convict us where we have fallen short. Empower us where we've honored you, Lord, and may we grow in grace. Touch that man or woman now here at Calvary, still in church, but not in Christ yet. Lead them even now to say, yes, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lead them into the kingdom, Lord. We'll praise you forever for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.